Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now we'll talk with some students who took part in Friday's climate strikes that saw students walk out of school all over the world on Friday in a cri de coeur, a cry from the heart to the grown-up world. We'll also talk to a grown-up leader of the environmentalist pro-Green New Deal Sunrise movement. So with me now are Alexandria Villasenor, who is a 13-year-old student here in New York, a Fridays for Future school striker in solidarity with Greta Thunberg, the 12-year-old organizer of the whole thing around the world from Sweden. Also, Olivia Wolgemuth, a Climate Strike New York organizer at the LaGuardia High School of Music and Art, and Spencer Berg, Climate Strike organizer at the Institute for Collaborative Education, unfortunately known by the acronym ICE, and also with us, with all of them, is Varshini Prakash, executive director and co-founder of the Sunrise Movement, the grassroots movement that's demanding immediate action from the United States Congress to address the climate change crisis. So welcome to all of you. Congratulations on what took place on Friday, and welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Happy to be here.
And Varshini, nice to have you back. Alexandria, let me start with you, and we'll kind of go around the horn on this with everybody. What did you do on Friday?
Yeah, so on Friday, it was a school strike for climate. It was a global day of climate action, so there's 125 countries that were school striking on March 15th. And here in the city, there was a huge march and rally. We had about an estimate of 5,000 students school striking on Friday. So I think in the city, it was a huge success.
And Olivia, where were you on Friday?
Well, on Friday, I started my day at the UN, where there was a kind of press conference and some protesting outside of there. And then I made my way back to my school so I could lead a walkout of students to meet at the rally at Columbus Circle.
And Spencer, how about you?
I was all over the place that day. Went to the UN in the morning, and then went to City Hall, and then went to Columbus Circle. It was crazy, but it was lots of fun.
Spencer, how did this get organized at your school? Like, who started it, and how did it come together?
So there were these seventh grade girls who started doing it, and I didn't know about it until I saw them one day doing it. And so I did research, and I realized I should get involved. And so what I started to do is make announcements and about March 15th and what we should do and why we're doing it, and spread that word, not with just my friends, but having them spread it to their friends. So it became like a spider web of just people spreading it. And so that's how we did it.
You said you did research. What kind of research did you do?
So I already knew quite a bit about climate change and the IPCC report, but I wanted to know why Alexandria was striking outside of the UN. But I messaged her and also looked up some stuff about COP24, and it made sense to me.
So, Alexandria, I'll come back to you. Did you have models for this from the past, like the Parkland, Florida students on guns, or the student anti-war protesters in the 1960s, or not really?
Mainly, like, my main models or inspirations were Greta Thunberg, because of how she decided to strike and she started this whole movement. And
for people who don't know her name, tell us about Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, Greta Thunberg is a 16-year-old Swedish climate activist. She's the one who sparked the School Strike for Climate movement and the Fridays for Future movement. She also spoke at COP24, where she put the world leaders in their place, and she's spoken in Davos. She's a huge, huge inspiration and someone who empowers a lot of students.
And Olivia, what's your message? What do you really want the adults to hear?
Well, I want the adults to hear that we are the younger generation that in the coming years is going to be voting in elections, and that this issue is if not our number one priority, one of our very top priorities, and that this is pressing to us, that we are not backing down, and that we will keep fighting until they join us and are on our side. And if they don't listen to us, then we'll eventually be able to vote them out of office.
Olivia, what did it feel like being involved with this in the preparation and then on Friday's strike itself?
Yeah, it was probably the most empowering day of my life. I mean, it was really crazy. This is an issue that I've cared about for a really, really long time. And then as soon as I saw that I could get involved in it, like, I jumped at the opportunity, and I was expecting maybe 100, 200 kids, if we were lucky, to walk out of my school on Friday, and I think close to 1,000 kids from my school alone walked out. And that was crazy, and I felt really powerful. I felt like that this was something I could actually do and get it, and an issue that I could actually get attention for. And I feel so inspired and much more hopeful than I did before. And I plan to continue with this in the future. And now I feel like that's possible.
So before we also bring in the adult in the room, Varshini Prakash from the Sunrise Movement, can I ask each of you how much you felt heard by adults who matter after Friday? Alexandria, do you have an opinion on that?
I think that we will be heard once they finally start putting policies and laws in place. They'll keep us below 1.5 degrees Celsius. They may be paying attention, but unless they don't act on climate change, then we haven't been heard efficiently.
Spencer, did you feel heard to any degree?
There was a lot of media media there, so I know a lot of people could have seen it. The UN sent out a tweet about the die-in that we staged outside of the UN, so we were definitely noticed, but Alexandra made a good point about notice versus heard or being listened to, because people could have heard us, but we still need that action. We need more than hearing. We need people to do something about the problem.
Olivia, same question.
Yeah, so the Secretary General of the United Nations, I'm not positive how to pronounce his name, and I don't want to butcher it, but he sent out a tweet after the climate strike saying that he was hoping to call a UN conference and to bring this issue to the attention of the United Nations now and moving forward to focus on it more. And when I saw that, and when I saw the UN posting on Instagram and Twitter about it in general, like Spencer was saying, it was then that I felt that we were starting to be really heard instead of noticed. And even though right now the tweets and posts are just talk, it gave me hope that we are starting to be heard.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, with us are three students from New York who took part in Friday's climate strikes, obviously, as the name indicates, in support of action on climate change, Alexandria Villasenor, Olivia Wolgemuth, and Spencer Berg, from various high schools. And also with us is Varshini Prakash, Executive Director of the Sunrise Movement, which is demanding immediate action from the United States Congress to address climate change crisis. Varshini, as a grown-up environmental movement leader, what did you think of what happened on Friday, and do you think it has any political weight in addition to just students becoming aware and expressing themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brian, the numbers on Friday were unbelievable. 1.4 million people all across the world. People are calling this perhaps the largest environmental protest in history. It is unprecedented what has been happening. And for someone who, when I was the age of many of the folks who are in the room right now, there was no climate movement. It's unbelievable to see the amount of momentum and energy that has built. And these young folks, especially in the United States, are making some pretty clear demands, asking for our government to declare a national emergency on climate, asking for Congress to support and back a Green New Deal. And I think they're exactly right in saying that being noticed is one thing, taking action is another, and we're going to be looking specifically for what these politicians do beyond just paying lip service to the activism that is, the historic levels of activism that have taken place in the last week.
Varshini, I gather you got involved with the Green Movement as a student in college, is that right?
I did, yeah. Unfortunately, when I was 13 and 14, I was mostly just badgering people around me to recycle and things like that because there wasn't a climate movement. But when I was in college, I actually joined the Global Fossil Fuel Divestment Campaign, which was pushing colleges and universities and foundations and churches and all kinds of institutions to stop investing in coal, oil, and gas corporations that were wrecking our generation's future and jeopardizing all of our lives. So I actually got involved in that campaign at my college, University of Massachusetts Amherst. And we won after 3 years of pretty relentless campaigning, a 2 week long escalation that involved thousands of people in a multi-day sit-in. So I think there's a lot to come from these young folks, and I'm really hopeful.
There were weeks of action, or you're describing years of action, leading up to a protest as you were trying to get the University of Massachusetts at Amherst to divest from fossil fuels and their investments, years of actions that led up to people being arrested. How did it build and who built it?
So it was largely built, at the University of Massachusetts, it was largely built by the young folks who were organizing there with some help from other organizations like 350.org or people who were generally building the national and global movement. But it was just years of grassroots campaigning, knocking on the doors of our classmates, educating people, going to classrooms, sharing information, getting people involved. And getting people to sign petitions, then taking all of those names, getting people to trainings, to demonstrations, to negotiations with our administration, and knowing that, you know, our campaigning really begins when we receive that first rejection, that first no from the people who were in power, and we receive that very early on, but we knew that that is the moment when your campaign really begins, and after a while, if you've built enough power, if you've talked to enough people, if you've organized enough people behind you, folks in leadership have no choice but to follow your example. And we actually ended up winning that campaign after years of escalating in the summer of 2016.
So was civil disobedience, which I might define as doing something peaceful but illegal, part of the strategy?
It was. And in fact, during that 2 week long sit-in, we had thousands of people participate, and 34 people were actually arrested for risking arrest for protesting the university's investment policies, which was the highest number in at least decades. And we took our example from people who had been demonstrating and holding sit-ins and using civil disobedience, protesting the South African apartheid regime and that divestment movement from the 70s and 80s. So there's really a legacy of decades of activism and organizing that we stand upon. And we need to use all of these different tactics, whether it's, you know, community organizing to public demonstration to political organizing to all together to win.
By the way, a correction on the age of Greta Thunberg, the Swedish climate activist whose age I stated incorrectly before. Her actual age, for the record, is 16. Alexandria in our studio, who's 13, right? Was this your first political activity, or have you done anything like this before?
Before I started my strike at the United Nations, I had not really been aware of my surroundings and what was going on in the world. I was kind of in a little bubble, I guess, that a lot of students live in before they realize a lot of problems going on in the world. So really, I did, once I started realizing that climate change will affect my generation the most, that's when I decided that it's now or never to take action.
Olivia, was this your first political activity?
This is my first time being involved as more of an organizer or a leader. But last year, during the New York March for Our Lives movement, I participated in two school walkouts. And ever since Donald Trump's election in 2016, I've been to several protests I've been to three women's marches. I went to a climate march in D.C. a couple of years ago, but this is my first time, like I said, kind of organizing something.
What made you so politically aware at such a young age?
Well, I'm really lucky in that both of my parents are very politically aware, and ever since I was little, I've been listening to the radio and watching the news every day and just kind of being surrounded by information that keeps me in the loop. And I'm also lucky to go to a high school where political and social activism is valued and where I have a lot of friends who are very much in the center of protesting and standing up for their beliefs. So through them, mm-hmm. I tend to get involved in things.
And that's LaGuardia High School in your case.
Yeah.
Spencer, how about you? Was this your first political activity?
This is definitely the most that I've been involved with, like a movement like this. I didn't just organize at school, but I also ran like the Instagram and Twitter account for the New York City strikes. So I made posts and I spread information. And last year I did do a walk and I helped kids in my school lead it. And before that, I went to protest pretty regularly. But this is the first time that I was on the inside and I saw what it's like to actually organize a protest. And I think I want to keep on doing it.
Can I ask each of you how you know climate change is real and man-made? Like, Spencer, what if a skeptic or a denier were to challenge you with that question?
Well, it's for one thing, it's frustrating that people still believe that. You can look at the IPCC 1.5, this special report about 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming.
All right, IPCC, just for people who don't know the initials, that's the UN's IPCC, International or Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Spencer, go ahead.
Yeah. So if you look at that report, it clearly talks about the trend of climate change and says how we can lower our emissions to meet the demand that we need to do so that we don't get past that warming. And then you can also just do basic research on NASA, which they've laid out a really easy to understand website about with evidence that climate change is real and that it is man-made. And it's ridiculous at this point that we're denying that.
How about you, Olivia? What would you say to a denier who says, oh, how do you know?
Well, in addition to the thing Spencer said, sometimes, especially with deniers, they might not be inclined to listen to, scientific or data-based facts, that are, like, written on paper or whatever. So in that case, I would just show pictures. You know, we're lucky to live in an age where we have access to a lot of great photography and photographers who capture the impacts of climate change around the globe, and you can see pictures of marine animals caught in plastic. You know, you can see pictures of that plastic piling up in the shores and oceans. You can see pictures of the direct pollution coming out of fossil fuel plants. You can see before and after pictures of rainforests, which have been cut down for agricultural land. You know, if you don't want to look at the numbers and the scientific data, if you just want to look at visuals, to me, that's enough evidence that humans are having a direct impact on our planet.
And so, Varshini Prakash, Executive Director of the Sunrise Movement, the grown-up in the room. Funny enough, usually when we say grown-up in the room in the media these days, it refers to people around Donald Trump. But this is a very different context.
Yeah. Happen too often.
Do you know about the lawsuit filed by 21 children to require the government to come up with an action plan?
Yes, I do. And I know a lot of the young folks who are organizing it. And a lot of the young folks who are organizing it are also very active in Sunrise Movement, in groups like Zero Hour, and also helped organize the youth climate strikes, which I don't think is any kind of, it makes a lot of sense.
The plaintiffs are as young as 11 years old, and their lawsuit claims that the federal government is denying them the right to grow up in a safe climate world, and that the government has profited from selling out their climate security to fossil fuels companies. So the government owes damages to the next generation in the form of ending new leases for land for fossil fuel production. That's what they're asking for in the lawsuit, and other steps. Alexandria, had you heard of that one yet?
Yes, I have. I know a couple of people in that case. I've met a couple of the plaintiffs, and I'm very supportive. I think it's important that people are challenging the system from within the system and from without the system, which is needed. People need to be coming from every angle.
Farshini, there's even a debate within the Democratic Party about how far to go, how quickly some of the timelines in the Green New Deal are being dismissed as either vague or unrealistic. How do you think that's going a couple of months into the new Congress?
Sure. I mean, those debates are alive and well, and we've seen politicians who have very quickly embraced the Green New Deal and its ambitious timeline, which is in fact the only solution on the table right now that is in line with the climate science, as folks have been talking about the IPCC reports. But we've also seen a number of Democrats who have dismissed the Green New Deal and who have cast doubt on it. And so, you know, Sunrise Movement is going to be organizing. We are bringing the Green New Deal to every corner of America in the next month on a Road to the Green New Deal tour to ensure that people all across this country have the skills and resources and tools to pressure their federal policymakers to back the Green New Deal. And we've also seen that every single presidential contender, almost every single presidential contender on the Democratic side, has embraced the Green New Deal either in its full resolution or in concept. And so this is really where the Democratic Party is moving. This is what the key litmus test for 2020 will be. And I think if you want to be a serious contender on this issue, and if you want to sit in the White House in 2021 and beyond, you need to back the Green New Deal, and you need to back the leadership of young people like the folks in the room here with me.
Last question for the folks in the room, meaning the students in the room. Are any of you taking steps in your personal behavior to limit your carbon footprints? Olivia, are you?
Oh, yeah. That's actually how I started getting involved in this issue before I became more active in protesting and larger scale activism. For the past couple of years, I've been doing a lot of research on my own time about how you can reduce your carbon footprint in your everyday life. And some of the things I do include, you know, things like taking reusable water bottles and mugs everywhere, using metal straws instead of plastic ones. A big thing I do is I only buy my clothes through thrift shopping instead of fast fashion, mm-hmm. because the fast fashion industry is a big contributor to emissions and climate change, so I try to avoid that.
Thank you. And we only have time for one quick one from each of the other two of you. Alexandria, you have one?
Yeah, so I have started to lower my carbon footprint, trying to eat less meat, start to recycle, but there does come a point where I do believe more action needs to be taken on a governmental level because of how 70% of emissions come from 100 companies all around the world. So there are personal actions you can take, but some need to be taken on a government level.
Spencer, same question for you.
I only use public transportation, or at least 90% of the time I do. And then I also started a recycling team back in my school, and now we're recycling for the first time in like 10 years.
So, Alexandria, we will close by kind of reiterating the point you were just making. You don't think that we can save the climate through individual voluntary action. It has to happen at a policy level.
It does have to happen on a policy level. You can do actions yourself, but world leaders need to start taking the actions to keep us below 1.5 degrees.
And we thank Alexandria Villasenor, Olivia Wolgemuth, and Spencer Berg, three New York City students who took part in Friday's climate strikes. And we thank Varshini Prakash, Executive Director of the Sunrise Movement. We also thank Brian Lehrer Show intern Asha Mackay, who reached out to the students and helped to organize this segment. Thanks to all of you so much.
Thank you for having us.